6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on his Taco Tuesday in Baltimore and surrounding areas. At the stop of the school buses yesterday.
Went to get
Robbie, and I'm like, okay, here we go. It's that time of the year.
That time of year.
I always like when they slow down, even before they put the red light out, I try to slow down too. Because I think like one of the worst things that could happen to me is to have an accident with one of those kids crossing.
You know? Now, let me ask you this. When you're on the other side, like let's say it's not a highway, but you got a four-lane street.
Well, I can answer this. Go ahead.
And you're on the other side of the street. You're supposed to stop when they stop, correct?
Unless there's a center median.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because if there's a median, then the bus is not supposed to stop for them to cross.
Yeah, yeah.
Supposed to stop on the other
but
side.
But that's a tough one because I somebody don't get a ticket. Bus was like across, and they told like 6 or 8 lanes of traffic and got tagged.
Really?
Yes. Got a huge fine, like several hundred dollars.
Yeah.
We had a fire truck coming up the road, and I'm looking at the people on our side of the street. There was a median, all that stuff. Like, everybody stopped. And maybe that's a little bit different, but I feel it falls under the same circumstances of... And you watch some of these people that are like, no, I don't want to wait, and then just floor it. And you're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Seriously.
There's no way you're going. It's that important. Let's be honest. Lots of baseball. Cal Raleigh, home run number 50.
Big jumper.
Yeah. He's having a... Is he the MVP?
He's going to be because of what happened to Judge with the injury. And Judge, like, there's been a power sap since that injury. He hasn't been homering. It's not like the numbers are awful, but it's not Judge-like of what we've seen. And a lot of people, they get sad that we're going to see a guy, what's he hitting, 255 or something? Or has his average gone up? And people keep pointing at that, and I'm like, okay, what's his on-base percentage? Like, at least let's look at that. Is there anybody that's doing what he's done? As Ed pointed out, what, the only other switch hitter to hit 50 or more was Mantle?
Mickey Mantle.
You know, people got to get over that whole batting average thing. It's done.
I just love when these people go, yeah, wins and losses don't matter. Last time I saw a 20-game winner, he was pretty damn good. Yeah, you know what? What else you look at with that 20-game winner? Go look at his ERA and see how good that was. A lot of good things happen when you pitch well. It doesn't always mean it's going to equate to that. Mm-hmm. And that's why if you can't control half the game, wins and losses don't matter. If you can't score. You need help to get that win, so why would he get it?
No, Joe, you said he just passed Aaron Judge in total war?
I didn't mean total. I'm saying for right now, for the season, he just passed Judge for war.
Really?
I didn't see that. I don't know.
I mean, 2 days ago, I think.
What is he? What is Cal Raleigh's
war? Is it B war or is it F war? Because there's two different ones.
I didn't see. All I saw was the headline.
So that's why I'm saying if you're seeing something different than him... B war is like Baseball America's, F war is like Fangraphs, and they have a different set of circumstances.
ESPN.com right now, and it says Judge 6.9, Pete Crow Armstrong 6.4, Paul Skeen 6.2, Christopher Sanchez 5.9, Cal Raleigh 5.9.
And again, so that might be...
That's ESPN.com. Gunnar Henderson down here is 4.8. That's not bad.
Oh, no, he set the record for catchers, period. Mm-hmm. He's second for switch hitters now behind one of the greatest ever. Pretty amazing.
Did you see that they wanted to have a bobblehead that was a bobble ass?
That's hilarious. No. Is it going to twerk?
Yeah, basically.
Yes.
A bobble butt for the big old turd cutter that the big dumper has.
He's my MVP anyway, just because of the significance of what he's doing. You know what I mean? At the position that he's doing it. Can't ignore that.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's fun to watch this stuff, too, and seeing different... Like, I mean, I've said this before. You watch baseball long enough, you'll see something you've never seen before happen in a game. And we've seen it. Like, earlier this year, I saw my team score 8 runs, and they were up 8-0, and they lost that game. So, I don't think I've seen that before. Some of the stuff that's gone on in baseball games with, you know, some of the feats we've talked about. What was the one earlier this year with the 4 home runs with, what, Nick Kurtz?
Mm-hmm.
And, sorry, Nicholas Kurtz. Let me make sure I say it slow. But the more impressive thing was he scored 6 runs in that game. Like, that's less people have done that. You get away. I ain't messing up. You ain't catching me on tape saying it too fast.
He's caught. This is the third year that he would have led the league in games caught.
Really?
Yeah, but his total is going to be down from before.
Because they got to start spelling him.
He did 128 in 2023. He did 135 last year. He'll never catch up with that.
And he's only at
98 right now.
How many
games? He's played 129.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Sal Perez leg. Remember when Sal Perez, like the backup catcher for the Royals was the best job in the world because every 2 weeks they go, hey, you want to play? And you take a day off. Like go look at Sal Perez games played and almost earlier on, like now he's DHing more. But he would be behind the plate for 138 games.
The story is, I forget who the backup catcher was for them, but true story.
Eric Kratz maybe at one point?
He said he kept his glove nearby. Because there would be times he went out to warm up the pitcher, even though Perez wasn't at the plate. He'd just go out there.
Just so he could do something.
Yeah, true story. So that was a thankless job, so to speak. But yeah, he's going to lead the league again, looks like, in games caught, but he won't be anywhere near the 135 or even the 128 that he had the year before.
Raleigh is fifth in Baseball Reference WAR. Judge is first at 6.9. Raleigh's 5.9.
ESPN uses that
uses,
one.
Yeah, I think they use Fangraphs.
Oh, they use Fangraphs?
Yeah. No, ESPN uses the one you just said. What is that?
Do they use B-War? Okay, maybe that's the page I'm looking at. It has both of them. But they're tied in Fangraphs WAR. Judge is ahead in Baseball Reference WAR.
So I got the F WAR right now where Cal Raleigh is number one. 7.3. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because there could be some confusion here. It's one of the weirdest things when you're looking at F WAR, B WAR. And there's, I forget what the different calculation is, maybe some defensive metrics and things like that factor in. But yeah, it's pretty interesting to kind of look at the difference that they have in it. Judge is two, they're tied at 7.3 now. So it must be like a fraction of a point that Raleigh passed him.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I mean, it's Gunnar Henderson almost at a 5 WAR. That's pretty cool. You know what I mean? For a losing team.
Did I send that thing to the group chat the other day about what the Orioles have done? Here, I want to see if I sent it here. Because the Orioles had the same record as the Cubs and who was the other best team in baseball? Cubs and Tigers, since whatever date we go back to, they have the same exact record as those teams, and they have a winning record under Mancino. And again, if they hadn't had that terrible start with
those first 2 months.
You mean when they had the injuries?
Yeah.
But it didn't matter? Yeah. You're like, hey, why are they staying?
I got hit with that yesterday. Someone said, okay, Rob, injuries aside. I said, there is no aside. There's no aside. Yeah. This is it. This is what happened. I said, if we're going to start the conversation with injuries aside, then we'd have no conversation, because you're asking me to go and play what if. Well, you can't play what if.
If you weren't 6'5", 250, or in a 4'4", 40, you wouldn't be in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, I mean, without that, so you'd have nothing.
If you didn't have that, then what?
Without those.
It's the same thing. It's like.
Whatever fits your narrative, man.
So how do we start a conversation with the hypothetical? Reality is, they had a lot of injuries. That's it. That's the end of the story. The Bengals, they give a raise to Trey Hendrickson. How does that impact the AFC North? We'll talk about that at 6:45. But on the other side, Birds had the lead, and then they gave it up. Orioles baseball up next on the Fan.
What will Whitlock uncork here?
I would be guessing off-speed pitch, but it's hard to do in a two-strike count.
You were right. Leadoff double, Henderson stranded. Vasquez with a high fly ball to left field. Easy for Durant, whose three-run homer is the game winner and a 4-3 Red Sox victory.
The Orioles were up in the top of the fifth, and then all of a sudden, the three-run bomb. And no one could score again after that, the last four frames.
Dick Fitz.
Yeah.
Handle bits. What, you didn't watch him? He mowed them down.
His name's Richard.
He left the game with an injury, didn't he? Or did he stay in?
Was it an injury? I know when he didn't come out for the one inning.
I thought he got injured.
I didn't know if it was just, I didn't know if Dick got pulled or if, you think Dick got hurt?
You know if what?
If Dick got pulled. From the game.
Pulled?
He hurt his bicep. That's what he said.
Got pulled. Yeah, that's what I thought.
How?
Because he was out. How do you hurt your bicep?
Pulling. That's more tricep, to be honest. You know, it's the push down and the up.
I think he started, he was warming up for the inning or something and then pulled.
Threw one pitch and then came out.
Yeah.
You know what's frustrating is, like, I don't care where you're at in the season. Like, I still laugh at some people that get really upset over wins and losses at this point because it really doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
And I understand you're rooting for your team. But the people that just have this vitriol, like, oh, you got to do this to win a game. I can't believe it's like you're watching young players now. The thing that you're watching is more individual success than it is team success at this point. But I don't care what time it is of the year, if you're out of it. Watching a leadoff double and that guy standing there at the end of the inning pisses me off every single time.
Yeah.
Like, you're down one run.
Yep.
Get the run in.
Get them over. Like, get them in.
A ground ball to second base. Yeah. A ground ball to first. Like, get it done.
Get them over. Get them in.
Fly ball, whatever. Something. Make contact.
Is Kowser snapping out of it? Three hits last night. A couple of home runs over the weekend. He started swinging the bat a lot better.
You hope,
is he snapping out of it?
I think there's just been so many inconsistencies this year with him. Or maybe it has been consistently bad.
Yeah, I think it's consistently bad.
But, you know, like, again, you're...
Until lately.
After last year, we saw it was a roller coaster ride with him. It was like, you know, I talk about Stowers and how he's, you know, he's a very streaky player. Kowser's the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, he was drafted higher. So when you look at the type of player, and look, he could have easily won, he should have won Rookie of the Year last year, in my opinion. It didn't happen, but... Watching him this year, it's like he didn't look like the same player for most of the season.
Big night last night, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Is he snapping out of it? Not bad weekend either.
Yeah. It
carry over from the weekend when it started to look like. And what I'm judging by Jeremy, and they're not just the results. He looks, his swing looks a lot more pure than it was before. I don't know. It looks a little bit like last year. A little loopy in the swing early in the season. Now he's kind of like coming down on the ball. I had a chance last night. I went up to Route 24 Ale House, and I watched baseball with Steve Molesky.
Oh, really?
It's a different experience, bro.
Who picked up the check?
It's a different experience. Oh. I picked it up.
Okay.
And handed it to him.
Steve,
I got manners. I'm not going to make the man pick the check.
Hey, this thing looks interesting.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
Ed. Jeremy, I'm not insulting you. Yeah. You may not know the price range for this. You know, someone charged me $52 yesterday for a Colonel Taylor?
A drink?
Yes. $50.
You got to be kidding me.
$2. The local up in Bel Air. I'm going to talk about him. Charged me $52.
You got to be kidding me.
I once got charged $125.
This is me walking away from the mic, folks. You go and carry on. I'm going to find this receipt and show him.
Yeah,
$52.
Fefte.
For a drink. What'd your friend do?
Fefte. Satisfied Fefte, man. But yeah, I mean, look, you're looking at some of these expensive drinks. I remember a buddy going down to the yard and buying a Long Island iced tea, and they charged him $6 for every shot in a Long Island iced tea. And it's all rail. He's like, well, I guess
I'm going to charge $52 for one drink.
One drink. You could buy a bottle of that for that.
How many shots are in a Long Island iced tea? Five?
I don't know.
Five different alcohols?
I thought you just picked up the thing where the alcohol falls in and just poured it in.
Maybe. But again, $6. You're paying $30
what is that thing called?
For
a little rubber ramp?
Oh, God.
I thought you just picked that up and poured that in and said, hey, your Long Island iced tea? I don't think I've ever had one.
Really?
I don't think so.
I did years ago in Florida and Long Island hanging out there. They're so dumb. I mean, it's like you drink that as a kid. It's like it's just dumb.
Splash
of Coke. What drink did I? What did I do as a kid? I think I did. I don't know.
Oh, let me tell you how old I am. Tequila sunrises were popular.
No, I don't.
Do you remember those at all? Anybody?
I do.
Yeah.
Remember the movie? Was that Meg Griffin? Anyway, when we were,
I totally got us off track. I'm sorry, Joe. It's my bad, Joe.
When we were younger, I'll date myself here a little bit. It was Boone's Farm, Mad Dog, and then eventually MD-2020? Zima.
Damn, Zima. That's just.
I'm the only idiot that got alcohol poisoning from Zima. Ever tell this story?
That's what I drank as a kid. Seagram's. Wine coolers.
Yeah.
That was
Bartles and James.
Mm. I probably drank some of that too.
Fuzzy navel.
Actually, you don't put a shot in. You put a tablespoon of the cocktails in.
Ooh.
According to this recipe.
Really?
For a Long Island iced tea. Vodka, gin, rum, tequila, triple sec, lemon juice, lime juice.
That sounds not like a headache.
It's just dumb.
That just sounds like a headache tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
If you don't put mixed drinks in, man, you're fine tomorrow. You're fine. You wake up all right. You start mixing in the sugar and all that stuff, you're asking for trouble.
I did it. De La Rosa's the one night. I did the bomb squad, which I think was it 9 bombs? So it's like,
I don't know.
You had all the easy ones. You know, you have your cherry bomb, your orange bomb, and all those. But you also had a car bomb in there and a Jaeger bomb as well. So in my mind, it's like, you got to get those two out of the way first and then do all the vodka bombs. And the worst part wasn't even being drunk. Is you can't sleep because there's too much damn Red Bull at that time of night. And it gives you the worst headache. I completed it. I'll never do it again.
A car bomb.
You ever had a car bomb?
Once.
What kind of car bomb was it?
What do you mean? What kind?
Multiple types of car bombs.
So that was just slur.
Tradition.
I was about to say, Ed, isn't that's like if we went to Ireland and they had, can I get a 9/11?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever had one there?
I haven't, no.
Oh, a car bomb in Ireland?
No, a 9/11 in Ireland. It was
Irish car bomb. That sounds like a real, that's an ethnic slur.
Well, that's, I mean, that's what it's been called, right?
I know.
It's what is it?
Are you getting sensitive there?
I am.
Best up, man.
Because then they put you in a paddy wagon. You have too many.
It's Guinness is it Guinness, Jameson, and Bailey's on top, and then you drop it?
And you got to drink it really fast or it curdles.
Yeah, yep.
I'm sorry. I totally got us off.
It's all right.
So baseball.
Well, yeah. We had that that meeting about contests yesterday. Jeremy was talking about the bomb squad. Have you ever heard of doing the 9 beers, 9 hot dogs, and 9 innings?
Yeah, I would.
So we probably can't have a contest like that with the Orioles and the station.
No, we couldn't.
Okay,
probably not allowed.
Nine beers, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings.
Yeah, so you have a beer and a hot dog in every inning.
Did you see when J.J. Watt went to do this? Because I think he hammered 4 beers and 3 hot dogs in the first inning. He got them all out of the way. I wouldn't want to do that because you'd be so bloated burping it up.
See, that's what I was going to ask. Do you have to have 1 per inning or do you just have to have 9 of each by
the
end of the game?
It's got to be 9 of each. Most people try to pace it.
Yeah, see, nah. See, I would lose on a beer.
You'd run a train on those hot dogs, wouldn't you?
I would lose on a beer.
Nom, nom, nom.
I could hot dogs?
Yeah.
Could it be hot dogs without bread, Joe?
No.
No. I know. It's got to be the whole shebang.
Yeah.
I don't see those rules. I'm
going
to check Odyssey at work and check out the contest rules. 410-583-1057 is the number.
It's always nice to have a meeting that could be an email.
Shovels. At 7:15, well, she may involve that meeting. But on the other side, we're talking Ravens. It's cut down day. Today at 4 o'clock, going to be cut to 53. Do you expect any surprises? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Cut down day in the National Football League by 4 o'clock today. Ed, do you think the Ravens coaches are sitting at home right now with their feet up thinking, I don't know why they're giving us the 4 o'clock. We already know who's
the most positive team of it. They may be at the castle. Make him believe, but I think that roster's pretty stacked. I have a feeling they knew exactly who's making that roster.
I mean, you had, like, the camp battles that were going on, I think you kind of had an idea outside of maybe one or two spots, and some guys may have played their way on the team. I think now you're trying to see, do I want to put somebody on the practice squad? Do I try to trade them and get something for them, a future value? Can we hide a guy? Is there an injury? And the other thing you get this time of year is those handshake agreements where You know, you're like, hey, we're going to let you go now. We're going to sign you. Don't sign with anybody else.
Yeah. I did with Brett Irvin about 5 times.
Yeah. And I think all those teams do that on occasion. Yeah.
Is there anybody, in your opinion, that's been cut recently? Because Trippy just sent me a plethora of players that Raven fans on social media are talking about. Anyone who's been cut recently you think may, you know, wet the whistle of the Ravens a little bit?
The only thing I saw that I thought was interesting was, and the was it the Giants that traded for that first round guard from the? It was the Texans' first round pick, and then he just said, "Nah, that dog don't hunt," and released him. So no, it was the Eagles. The Eagles made the trade. C.J. Gardner Johnson, right?
It's Gardner.
He got traded to the Texans, which he got hurt. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. But they traded for a former first round pick that was a guard, and the Eagles were like, "Nope," and just released him. So. Again, you know, people look at talent and guys that were drafted in the first round. It's like, I can fix him. Let me get my hands on him. Like, that's kind of interesting to me just because of, you know, where he was deemed to be in the draft. But sometimes you just find out those guys aren't as good as you think. And I think it takes a lot to say, hey, man, we screwed up. Let's get rid of him. Because I was just reading, too, Junior Caminero against the Guardians last night. I don't know if you guys realize this. The Guardians traded him to the Rays for a player that they released 3 months later. And then now you look at what Caminero's doing. Yeah. He's been amazing this year.
He has been. 410-583-1057 is the number. I think John Harbaugh and company, they know who they want. They know who's on this football team. This is one of those teams where you have so many people returning on a team that's so good.
Yeah.
It didn't have any holes. Really? I mean,
it didn't. I mean,
they drafted to fill those holes. So what else do you have?
I think that roster was already sealed before the last game. I mean, even, you know, even this is not permanent. You know, we make the 53-man roster. If someone, you know, if there's a gem that was something you need cut by somebody else.
Or if you find somebody on someone's practice squad, too.
That's
you
what I mean.
The same thing. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things. I hope Shiloh Sanders' name's not on that list, right? Did he put him on there? Because Shiloh Sanders, Deion's kid that was cut by Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Like, this Ravens secondary has 5 first-round picks in it.
Yeah.
5. Tampa Bay's secondary does not, and they said, hey, we don't need you. So people got to get out of this whole thing of, like, just because the last name Sanders means he's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to prove it.
Well, I think he put a bad taste in their mouth also with
that punch. I mean, look, he was getting hit after, kind of blocked after the whistle, right, and he threw the overhand. I think it's a little unfair. I think that's unfair.
That was unfair, but I don't think that was a reason.
I don't think it's a reason, but I don't think it helped.
Definitely didn't help.
Yeah, I don't think it helped at all. I think they gave them something. See? I mean, that's it. 410-583-1057.
Todd Bowles is a very reasonable man.
Oh, my God.
pain and mimicry.
There's God. There's
and there's Todd.
Hold on. Yeah. You sure there's not Todd and then there's God? Or Todd is God, according to Ed.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I think the roster that Jameson Hensley put together that we read yesterday, I'm going to say I'm 99% sure that he's spot on. I think Jameson gets information that others probably don't get. And I don't mean that as an insult. I think Jameson works the system. Jameson, and you know who else gets those things? Guys like in baseball, Jacob Calvin Meyer and Andy Koskos. They get information like we do. Whenever they, when the clubhouse, when those guys move, I follow them. Why you follow me? Because you're going to get something.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Does JCM have a claim? Because that Washington running back that everybody's calling JCM, like, he was the original JCM. So is there going to be any sort of argument from Calvin Meyer?
We should get him on. I mean, who would you take? JCM Washington or JCM Baltimore?
I'd take the serial killer here.
That's right. I think he's a you wouldn't like me when I'm angry guy.
I mean, look, there have been black serial killers, but not as many as white.
Not nearly.
Oh, man.
What are you going to do about Sheen Ali? He's made it clear they're going to keep him.
He's a kickoff returner. That's his job. That's his role.
Yeah.
Do that. When we need you, do that. I think he's going to get some time because I think there's going to be some blowouts.
Yeah.
He'll have games where he has about 5 to 10 carries because there's going to be some blowouts. But I think primarily he will be the kickoff returner.
Knock on wood, I hate doing these potential things that could happen. If something happened to Derrick Henry and he was going to miss time, do you feel good with having Mitchell, Hill, and Ali as possible guys back there? Because I've said this before, I don't care who's back there with Lamar, he's going to make them better just because of the threat of him running. But you do have like some undersized guys that have great speed that should break away. Like we've talked about Justice Hill forever. They were talking about how he could be one of those guys to hit the home run, and we really didn't see big plays from him. He was just consistent in the passing game. I had somebody ask me if something happened to Derrick Henry, who do I think gets a bulk of the carries? And I think eventually it'd be
Lamar.
Mitchell. Well, probably. Mitchell splitting with Hill getting his touches as well.
We have those running backs would start for pretty much anybody. Seriously. If we didn't have Derrick Henry, you'd still have a good running back core.
Yeah.
Just you have, you know, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you wouldn't have Derrick Henry. But I agree. You have capable starting NFL.
You still have a top
backs.
5 running game.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
All right.
You just wouldn't have that that guy who is
he's
is,
different. He's just different.
There he is. They just showed him running away from the Buffalo Bills.
That'll be week one too.
You think they win week one?
Yep.
In Buffalo.
The whole revenge game narrative, like, and again, you're coming out Buffalo. I just think they're a better team than Buffalo. I think what happened in the postseason last year, look, a lot of it's on them. Nobody punted. You just made mistakes, and they didn't. That's it.
I'm afraid of that game.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm
afraid. I'm afraid of the letdown game after that one.
Who's that? Cleveland?
Yeah.
They never let down for Cleveland.
Hey, I'm just saying you win a big game
on
the road.
That was sarcasm. Yeah. Okay. That was absolute sarcasm.
And look, usually in Cleveland is where you see the letdown, but they've had some good games here too as well. Divisional games, anything can happen in them. Typically the better team you'd like to think is going to win, but that's where you see some of the surprises, man.
Yeah.
We've seen it over the years. Like, I still remember that crazy game here with the field goal that wasn't, was.
Hit the bottom of the goalpost, and they said no good. And they realized, no, that was the back of the goalpost.
Yeah, and it just bounced forward.
That was Brian Billick era, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because remember, they were talking about all the players taking their pads off in the locker room. They're like, nope, you got to come back out.
Eden and I went to the game. We were at by the Admins Deli area. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's still there. We were there about to walk out, and we heard the official, and we ended up sitting in section 100-something because we walked back. The usher was like, look, man, everybody's left. No need for you to go back up there. So that, we sat down for the rest of the game. We lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
And over, was that overtime?
Overtime, yeah, because that field goal counted to send it to overtime. And then all these guys that were taking the tape off, pads off.
You remember the Jamal Lewis game?
Against the Browns?
When he ran out of bounds?
Yeah.
And left time for the Browns, and they end up coming back?
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Yeah. I also remember
why'd
him
you run out of bounds?
He went for over 200 yards against them?
300.
300?
Yeah, he ran for like 300.
I thought it was like 284
or something. I thought it was like, yeah.
Okay, 297.
I mean, you can round up. It's fine. He busted their ass.
He did.
Yeah. Like when you're a running back and you have quarterback stats for yardage, then yes.
Did he have 280-yard runs in that game?
I don't know, but I do.
I know he had one. I thought he had 280-yard runs in that game.
I do remember when they opened up Dallas' stadium.
Oh. Open it up.
Or close the
close it up. Yeah, and Ray Lewis said, that's how you shut this bitch down.
Yeah, when every running back just had a 70-yard run for a touchdown. It's like, who wants to get one now? Like Pop Warner,
Oprah
man.
Winfrey. Yeah. The Shovel's at 7:15. You have a 70-yard run. But on the other side, the Bengals reach a one-year deal with Trey Hendrickson. How does this signing impact the AFC North? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Trey Hendrickson gets a raise from the Cincinnati Bengals, and now he's going to be happy. He's going to play with them because that's what he wanted. He wanted a little pay bump. That's not what he really wanted, but they gave him a $14 million raise for this season, which is crazy. Boosted his 2025 salary to $30 million. Also, revised deal includes a $1 million incentive that he collects if he plays 60% of the plays and the Bengals make the playoffs. So they got to do both. He can play 90% of the plays. If they don't make the playoffs, you don't get your money. I don't know how.
Baby, I got that should be in there.
But at the same time, Joe asked us, how does this impact the AFC North? I'm going to tell Joe it changes nothing because I had Trey Hendrickson playing this year anyway. Well, so I don't think it does anything.
For me, it changes everything because it gives Cincinnati one good defensive player now. Now they have one. I mean, with all due respect, like they had to get this done. And I don't know why they play so many damn games. Like the damn thing with Boomer Esiason where they sent him an email inviting him to go in their Ring of Fame or whatever it is or to be honored. And they're like, yeah, but you got to pay your own way.
That's
what?
It's unbelievable, actually. Unbelievable.
This is a professional organization, but yeah. Trey Hendrickson's a great player. But I don't know that they have enough around him because I still think Joe Burrow is going to throw his arm out by week 12.
This means nothing to me. It's he was going to play Ed. Mm-hmm. We know that. He wasn't going to if you want more money. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to lose money to prove a point.
But you know what it's like and it's funny too when people kind of point out all these guys that are holding out and not having this. It was like when people were talking about the Orioles signing Bassaio, what does it mean for Adley? Like, Bassaio wasn't going to be here for 6 years already?
Right.
Like, I mean, look, it's great that they signed him, but he was still going to be here.
He wasn't
anyway.
Leaving after this year. Yeah. In terms of the Bengals, Jeremy, you ever gone to the McDonald's and the ice cream machine is always broken?
Yes.
But you go to some McDonald's and the ice cream machine always works?
Yes.
The Bengals are the McDonald's ice cream machine is always broken.
I'm still going regardless.
That's yeah. They may be a franchise, but they're not. Their operating cost isn't the same as the other McDonald's.
Yeah,
that's what the Bengals are.
It's just a bad organization.
A horrible organization.
I'd feel like
the Browns are a better organization than the Bengals. Think about that for a second.
It's terrifying. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at wins and losses, no, Rob, the Bengals went to a Super Bowl multiple times. That's fine.
Can I tell you the only difference is the fact that the Bengals were drafting high the right years where the Browns weren't. You know, like
if you ask me, hey, Rob, you got to play for one of those Ohio teams. I'm picking the Browns every day of the week. Mm. Seriously. They at least pay.
Yeah. I mean, they paid Deshaun way too much money.
We went to, Vinny and I used to do the AFC North tour.
Yeah,
the Browns will run better than the Bengals.
I mean, the worst kept secret is Cincinnati's Northern Kentucky, though.
Come on, worst kept secret. That's what
podunk ass city.
We stayed in Kentucky. The hotel we stayed in it was in Kentucky. The bar that we got put out of because Vinny used the wine list as a frisbee.
Why does that not surprise me at all?
This is so funny.
Here it is. Give me something that I can flick. He said. Where's your wine list? Guy gave it to him. He said, yeah. And flicked it at the guy like a frisbee.
He wipes his ass with the contract.
And he walked out the bar, and I'm standing there looking, and I'm looking at the bartender. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm going to go follow him.
On the way out.
Vinny Serrato could be one of the guys sitting outside that restaurant with Tony Soprano.
Yes.
He flipped the guy off he cut in front of the guy. The guy had his arms up, raised up, like, what are you doing? He flips him off, puts his hand out the window, flips him off.
I wasn't going to talk about his driving, but...
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, Vinny Serrato could be outside with Tony Soprano. That's the kind of guy he is. That's the kind of guy he is. I'm serious. He talks trash about everybody.
I had a great day with him. It was very...
I didn't say it wasn't fun.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. But the driving, I was like, wow. I remember you were talking about it. Mm. At one point... He's like, he's got a brand new car. Because the deer totaled his car.
Oh, that's right.
So he's got
Why do you let the deer drive it?
Sorry. Anyway, all of a sudden, he's like, because the thing had massaging seats, all kinds of things. But the car alerted him.
I'm surprised he could afford that.
It said like a drowsiness alert. He goes, I don't understand. Why does this car think I'm driving? I go, Vinny, you're crossing the middle line over and over. The car thinks you're sleeping. That's why. It's exactly what happened. It's like
I'm going to write a song for Vinny. Instead of white lines, it's going to be white wine.
I got invited for Becky cooked the dinner. It was amazing. She made short ribs.
She's a great cook.
Oh,
she's a great
She made short cook. Ribs. Yeah, it was delicious. And of course, Vinny gave me some great wines and stuff. It was a very nice day.
Yeah, like again, didn't say I didn't have fun, but
yes.
I drive fast. He drives aggressively.
Would you be worried going over his house to bring a bottle of wine that it wasn't good enough?
I would never take a bottle of wine.
I did it.
Yeah.
The first time I went over years ago, I said it in the air. I'll tell you what I said and what Rob said. I go over Vinny's house years ago and I buy a bottle of wine. You know, something for me that was kind of, it was like $25. Huh. And I gave it front. I find about Vinny. Obviously, put it right down. I was like, when I learned, he must have just thrown it out. And Rob's like, nah, probably cooked with it.
Yep. 100%. It became sauce. Your wine became sauce. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the fan. I'm going to tell you right now, nobody in this building knows him better than me. Nobody. I spent 5 years with that dude.
Yeah.
On the road, at the Super Bowl, at his house. I know his kids. I know. Like, if you tell me he did something, I can assess whether he really did it. Like, Vinny did such and such, then I'll think, nah, he didn't do that. Vinny said, Yeah,
hold on. Do you have him down kind of like if we, you know, so how you talk about if we find your body in the mountains, in the ocean?
Oh, yeah.
That we know something.
That didn't happen.
No, that wasn't him.
That wasn't him.
Yeah.
Shovels at 7:15, but on the other side, the Commanders reach a 3-year deal with Scary Terry. Some are saying the Commanders will regress this year, but does this mean they get back to deep in the playoffs? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.